This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, folks, anytime we have Pennsylvania's treasure, UFO, cryptid, paranormal researcher Stan Gordon on the show, all we have to do is say, "Hi, Stan, what's up?" And we sit back and we listen. Is that the way it works, Stan?
Well, it seems to be. We always have a lot of information going on here. There's always more recent reports, and it never seems to end. You know, my hotline's been open since 1969, and it never stops ringing.
The pandemic, has it had anything in terms of impact, in terms of the number of sightings that come your way?
Well, actually, I was surprised. Yeah, I think we talked maybe on a past show that how busy 2018 and then really busy in 2019. And then to my surprise, 2020, even with the virus situation in this area, which has not been good at all, there were continuous reports almost all year until we got into the winter months. But, of course, as normal, year after year, generally in the winter months, the weather is worse. And now we have the virus situation, so you don't get as many reports. But in recent weeks now, we're seeing more reports beginning to come in again. It's been a fascinating time. And I get reports all year round on all type of weather conditions.
Well, I say this, if ET is visiting us, they sure don't care too much about our health.
Well, you know, that's the whole mystery about the UFO phenomenon and a lot of the other phenomena we're dealing with, but particularly with UFOs. You know, when I started this so many years ago, this year will be 62 years of research. I've never seen a UFO or Bigfoot myself, interviewed thousands of people, but when I started this many, many years ago, the main focus of attention, the main theory was that these things are all extraterrestrial. And the more I've learned about the phenomena, the more complex it is. Talking about this years ago, that I think it's very likely that there's more than one origin to the unknown category for the UFO phenomena. Maybe a small percentage might be extraterrestrial, but I think we're dealing with something that's much more unusual. And for lack of a better term, I think at least some of what we're dealing with is interdimensional.
We had Dr. Michael Masters on the Paracast a couple of times, and his theory is that time travelers from the future are coming here to pay us a visit. What do you think about time travel?
Again, that's one of many theories out there, and I've talked about that a little bit. As you dig deep in these cases, and back in the early 70s, when we began to have some very strange cases that come to my attention with both UFOs and Bigfoot and cryptids and other phenomena, that's when I began to realize that something else might be going on here, and it's been going on ever since. And we can get into that quite deeply, but what I wrote about so many years ago in the 70s, now it's getting a huge amount of coverage in the Bigfoot and UFO community. There's been several books about this now in the last few years have been published on it. You know, people all talk about the Skinwalker Ranch, but what was going on here in Pennsylvania in the 70s was very, very similar. There are indeed places throughout the country that same type of phenomena seems to be taking place. So that's something we can discuss as well.
Just to mention this, there's an author named Trey Hudson who came out with a book about the South's Skinwalker Ranch. He won't give us a location, but he said it is something that is below the Mason-Dixon line, evidently, and it's a place where weird stuff happens.
Yeah. Again, this has been going on for years and years. I first noticed it during that massive wave in 1973, but actually it was the year before 1972. And I started getting reports from an area actually only miles away from where I live out in a rural area. I would not say a huge area of woods, but a pretty good-sized area of woods. But the people had lived there for years, and nothing had happened. Then all of a sudden, I started getting reports from different residents and people lived around that area who began to report strange screams and howls, something heavy bipedal walking in the woods. Then the reports of a hairy, very broad-shouldered creature chasing dogs. They began to find footprints. They began to see strange lights. They began to see very small, little lights low to the ground in the trees and near their home. And that's something that began to catch my attention. So 1973 comes around. For your listeners who aren't familiar, I should give a little bit of background about this. In 1970, I founded the first of the three volunteer research groups. The first group was the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group, where I'm at here in Greensburg, PA. And the group was kind of unique in that the majority of people involved were some type of specialist. We had scientists, we had engineers, technicians, educators, police officers, former military intelligence people, and everybody, we all did this voluntarily out of our own time and pockets. And I had the group set up that we would respond to cases 24 hours a day. So we would have a team or investigator on the scene, in many cases within minutes to hours after these incidents occurred. And by 1973, we had extended to cover the whole state of Pennsylvania. And to our surprise, we began to get a lot of referrals from the news media, from the state police, from different other agencies. So we were very, very busy. And we are very lucky that we are organized, because 1973, first we had the biggest UFO wave I think ever documented. This went on all year from 1st of January to the end of the year, all across Pennsylvania. There were hundreds and hundreds of UFO reports coming in. And, of course, back then there's no internet. So the local papers and even the national news media times and the statewide news media was picking up in the news about a lot of these cases that were going on. And many of these UFO reports, they were not high-altitude lights in the sky. Many of these were low-level, very detailed observations of large structured objects. We had cases where these things were hovering right over the highways. They were chasing cars. There was landing reports. I mean, it was just an amazing time period, just with the UFO reports. But then it got better. The summer of 1973, we have the largest outbreak of Bigfoot sightings ever documented. That went on for months and months in the 1974. As I recall, there have been Bigfoot sightings recorded every year since that time, but nothing like this outbreak in 73 and the 74 with Bigfoot.
Now, back in the 70s, I was working at a radio station just west of Philadelphia, like 30 miles. And I remember here, not a lot of UFO cases, and one day, I think it was 72, 73, Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, near Coatesville, not far from where I lived. UFO. And just, it was like an avalanche. I started looking, and everywhere in Pennsylvania, UFOs.
Yeah, there was a lot all through that area, all through the state of Pennsylvania, not just one particular area. And, it was just an amazing time period. So we were investigating these reports, and they were coming in day and night, and sometimes multiple reports in the same day. And so it was just a fascinating time period. But these Bigfoot sightings, I mean, many of those, as it continues to occur, were not at night. Many were in daylight. Many were close-range observations. In some cases, there was more than one creature seen together, sometimes two or three of them seen together. In some cases, there was physical evidence at the scene. And that was just amazing. But it got much more fascinating. You know, as we're out there investigating, my thought was, what I knew about Bigfoot, that if these reports are real, and I've talked to a number of people that I believe were telling me the truth, they believe they saw what they saw, then these are probably some type of unknown animal, some type of unknown primate. But that's when we began to really see some very strange phenomena, very strange aspects of the phenomena that didn't make any sense. And one of the first things we began to notice is that we would get out to some of these locations, and if under different types of ground conditions, including fresh snow, there'll be trails of footprints, generally large footprints, with a very large stride between the tracks that we would follow, and in some cases they would suddenly stop and vanish and disappear. And there's no possible way under the conditions we found them that could have been fabricated. And then we began to get reports from different eyewitnesses in different locations. They were reluctant to even tell us this, but they would tell us, for example, that they're looking at this large hair-covered creature, and these are in daylight, and suddenly this thing would physically disappear, and seconds later would reappear at another location nearby.
Okay, we're going to break here. We have more Stan Gordon. Fascinating cases, UFOs, cryptids, And lots more to come. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity, TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're focusing here on not just UFOs, but Bigfoot. Bigfoot being very busy set of creatures out there. So this gets to be the mystery of Bigfoot, the theory that it's just an animal that maybe we haven't selected the breed yet. And suddenly the tracks disappear. Did anyone capture a cast of these tracks that they can analyze?
Oh, yeah. We made many casts of footprints then and in the years, over the years, many. A lot of pictures were taken. As this was starting in 1973, the cases started at all, and I remember it very well. It was July 31st, 1973, at a rural location only several miles from where I live, outside of Greensburg, PA. It wasn't far from what was then the Green Gate Mall, but it was a pretty rural area back then. There was a lot of woods back that time. Now it's been developed, so it's changed dramatically. But there was this house back there. And I got a call from a relative of a person who lived in that house, and they told me, you need to contact this person. He's in the hospital. He should be out shortly. But something happened to him, which was July 31st. I got a call, I believe it was August the 7th, which is the day I went out there. Anyhow, they told me that what had happened was, and that was confirmed later on, that this fellow was a warm night, and he was in the bathroom shaving. He always got up early for work, so he shaved early in the evening. Anyhow, he's shaving that night, and the window was open, but the screen was in. It was a warm night again. He began to smell this funny, rotten odor. He said it was something like rotten cucumber. He wasn't sure how to describe it. And he said he happened to turn and looked at the window, and here in the window were these two huge, glowing red eyes staring at him. The window's 8 feet off the ground. He had several dogs right outside there. And the dogs didn't make a sound, and they thought, well, that's really strange. These dogs bark for everything. He ran into the room, started screaming and yelling, and some of the other people came out, and they smelled the odor. Whatever was in the window was gone. Well, he ended up in the hospital. He was very, very shook up over it. I went out to interview him a week later, August 7th, and he was still pretty shook up, and I got to do a long interview with him and the family, and I found out that several weeks before, some of the boys in the neighborhood decided they were going to take a walk over to the mall, so they always take a shortcut through some of the woods around that area. And they're walking down the road, and they hear this commotion in the woods and the brush, and they thought it was a deer. So they start throwing some rocks and pebbles and stuff in to scare the deer out. And to their surprise, there's no deer, but this seven, eight foot tall, hair-covered creature with long arms comes out of there and walks across the road up behind the house. So I was able to interview some of those boys and talk to them. I got permission to go up and look on the property, and a few of those fellows asked if they could follow me up, and they did. So we're up there looking around, and I remember that area up there on this hillside was not real conducive for tracks. And I'm looking around for quite a while, and I was about ready just to end it for the day when I happen to look down, and here's a partial track, and here's the strangest-looking second track, completely intact. Strangest looking track I'd ever seen. It was 13 inches long, 8 inches wide, and clearly three-toed. So I got on the radio and called one of my associates out, and he came out and we took photographs and measurements and made a cast. While we're there in the field, we get a radio call from one of our investigators up north of Pittsburgh who was investigating that morning in the incident where a Bigfoot-type creature 9 feet tall was looking in a structure, and the police found large footprints up there. So this was this beginning of this major Bigfoot wave that went on for months and months over widespread areas. It was just an incredible time. But as time went on, I started telling about some of the odd things that began to show up. Well, then we began to see a pattern over a period of weeks. And the pattern was that, one, we would have a UFO sighting in a certain area. Within minutes to hours or days later, we'd have a Bigfoot sighting or vice versa. And then it got much more exciting and much more fascinating when we had these incredible cases where a Bigfoot and a UFO were seen together at the same time and place. And one of the oddest cases that showed up originally during that time period, one of the early reports was in September 73, September 27th actually, and this was north of Pittsburgh, and there were two women waiting for a friend to pick them up out in the country, and they see this large hair-covered Bigfoot creature with dirty white hair, which you don't hear about that often, but they've been reported, including very recently in recent weeks up in this area. And it was strange enough, you see this creature running across the road towards the woods, but in one of its hands, it's carrying a small ball of light. And a short time later, this object comes into the area over top of the trees, projects a beam of light down into the woods where the creature ran into. And from that point on, over the weeks ahead, many, many other very weird reports came in, and I'm glad to give you some detail on some of those cases if you want to get into that.
Absolutely, yes. I think we definitely need to get into that. Before we get into that, though, let's just rewind a little bit and go back to where you were saying that even during the 2020 COVID scare, you were still getting more of these accounts. Like, what's going on with that? Like, can you give us a couple of those, some recent ones?
Yeah, I'll just give you an example of some of the many, many reports that came in. January 23rd, this is a man traveling around 79 in Washington County outside of Pittsburgh, observes a great triangular object moving east and west below the cloud layer. There's one very bright light that appeared to be in front of the object, looked like a huge bright blue-white LED. The witness could make out the shape and said it was triangular and thick and looked like the design of a stealth bomber. He said there was no navigational lights on the object. He slowed down to get a better look, but it just suddenly vanished from sight and was not seen again. Another researcher, Dan Hagman, up in the Butler Group, the BORU, said he had been receiving during February numerous reports of cylindrical and egg-shaped objects in the county. He said one case involved a cylindrical object moving at a fast speed that came to a sudden stop in a split second, then a sphere emitted from the cylinder and the two objects moved off in different directions. And again, I'm just giving you difference. There were tracks found up on the Chestnut Ridge, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the Chestnut Ridge here in a little bit in much more detail. But that's an area which has a long history, basically year after year, and already this year reports are coming in from that area from different people. In that case, in March, they found a set of smaller footprints, which I've had those as well. They were about 8 to 10 inches long, about 3 to 4 inches wide, and very similar tracks have shown up for years along the Laurel Hannah Creek and all through the ridges up there. This, let me see what else we've got here. I had three Black Panther sightings, which are very intriguing, and they're very, very strange, much more unusual than a lot of people realize, because one, yes, they're an out-of-place animal, because when you talk about Black Panthers, an animal you see in the zoo, typical of a leopard or jaguar, not common to this part of the country, but they've been seeing them for years all across the United States and in this part of the country, and they shouldn't be here. But I've also found some very interesting association with Bigfoot and the Black Panther reports, especially in some of those areas where the phenomena seems to focus on, where unusual phenomena occurs, sometimes more than one cryptid and other phenomena is taking place.
We've got Stan Gordon, cryptids, panthers, Bigfoot, all sorts of creatures of the night and the day. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
21 states are seeing a rise in new coronavirus infections as more transmissible variants of the virus are quickly spreading. According to health officials, as much as 30% of the country's infections are from the strain first identified in the United Kingdom. Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed sees a correlation between areas experiencing a rise in cases and the spread of those new variants. The former health commissioner for Detroit tells CNN that the variants are another reason to slow down the speed of states reopening.
Where we are seeing spreading across the United States, it's almost always in states that have one variant of concern or another, whether it's B117 here in Michigan or in Florida, or the B1526 in the New York and New Jersey area, or B427 and 429 in California. All of these things should tell us that this is not the time to step on the gas when it comes to reopening.
This is USA Radio News. The White House announced its pick for NASA administrator on Friday, tapping former Florida Senator Bill Nelson to head the agency. Nelson became the second sitting member of Congress to travel into space in 1986 when he flew aboard the space shuttle Columbia while a member of the House of Representatives. Acting NASA Administrator Steve Jurczyk tells Fox News that it's very important for the agency to be headed by someone who has an understanding of the inner workings of Congress.
So it's really important to have that really good relationship with the administration, including the president or vice president, as well as our authorizing and appropriations committee and their staff on Capitol Hill. What we do takes years and decades. And so having that continued support over a fairly large period of time with the budgets that support the goals and objectives for the agency is super important and critical for us being successful to do the amazing research, technology development, and missions that we have planned for the nation.
This is USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
What can I say? Stan Gordon, carry on.
Several very interesting Black Panther reports. Several interesting UFO reports. Again, a lot of these are detailed, so we can go into them later on. Now, here's an interesting report, another cryptid. Not sure exactly what he saw, but it's very similar to another report we had received earlier in the year. So now this is up way up in northern PA, up in Jefferson County, and this fellow's hiking in a very thickly wooded, forested area. About 100, 200 feet away, he notices this. Now, this isn't daylight in the afternoon. He notices this very tall figure standing between two trees. The area is very dense, not close to any public access. You rarely see any people in these areas. As he continued to watch, he realized that what he was seeing was not human, a deer, or a black bear. He said the creature moved slightly, then took off running at extremely fast down the hillside to its left and did not come near the witness. The witness stated the creature ran faster than any human could possibly run. Even stranger, he did not hear any sound as it moved through the foliage and the rocks. The creature looked to be about 8 to 10 feet tall. General shape of the figure was distinct. The arms and legs were narrow, and the arms appeared to be bent at about a 20-degree angle and held straight out. The arms did not swing as it moved, which I've heard that before in some cases. The witness also mentioned that the entire time he watched this creature, it looked as though it was out of focus. And that's something I'm getting from other people reporting Bigfoot and other cryptids as well. This is another factor that's been shown up more and more over the years that some people reporting that, yes, in some cases these creatures look physically solid, but in other cases sometimes they look misty, there's a foggy appearance around them, sometimes only part of the body is in focus, and some weird cases over the years that sometimes they could see through them or only certain parts of the body they could see. So this is something that's very strange, but it's not just here. Similar things have been shown up in other parts of the country from what I've heard over the years from other researchers.
You know, Gene's going to guess exactly what I'm going to say here. When we're talking about that kind of visual cues, you know, those kinds of visual cues, they sound like these things are some kind of a projection, some sort of hologram or some sort of active camouflage, because that would explain all of that type of visual cueing. I mean, unless they're chameleon-like and they can completely change their tone naturally.
It gets stranger and stranger, and I wish we could have like two or three other researchers around the country all together on a panel and discuss what they're finding, because it's so interesting when I've done some of this in the past, and some of us don't know each other well, and the similarities of the cases and the details we're getting are so similar. But you also got to remember now, too, in some cases you've got physical tracks of the creature. We've had other physical evidence of some of the sites we went into when we had some of these cases going on. It's a lot more complicated than that. And, yes, there are reports of these, and we'll get into this more and more, of these small spheres of light that have been coming into some of the cases I investigated going back to the 70s. It's going on more and more. And remember the creature, the Bigfoot carrying the ball of light. Well, now you've got cases all over the country and in Pennsylvania, even in recent weeks, in some of these areas where people are seeing Bigfoot, they're hearing screams, they're finding footprints, but they're seeing these small spheres of light or other type of light phenomena showing up in some of these locations where there's a history of this phenomena going on. As strange as it sounds, there are some reports around the country where these balls of light reportedly have changed into various type of cryptids. It's very, very weird, and it's so beyond our present scientific understanding right now. I don't think anybody understands what's going on.
You know, there we go again, though. I mean, maybe what people are seeing, and this really actually it reminds me of Christopher O'Brien's experience that he had, where he was followed by these kind of strange creatures that he thought were creatures, but like, let's sort of look at it from the point of view that, well, maybe it's not a creature holding a ball of light. Maybe it's a ball of light projecting the image of a creature so that it looks like that, right? And I mean, even our own technology, you know, I have to bring this up because we can make people who are playing on stage in the United States appear to be real and playing on a stage in the UK at the same time. And you would swear they're real. You would swear they are there. So, you know, maybe we've got it backwards. Maybe it's the balls of light that are real and not the creature.
Well, here's something I noticed years ago, and it's ongoing more and more. There's a pattern. And what I found was that many low-level, close-range UFO encounters and many encounters with Bigfoot and other creatures, cryptids, commonly occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. So you've got many sightings around radio communication towers, radio, TV, other type of communication towers. You've got sightings around high-tension power lines and power plants, railroad tracks, gas lines, gas wells, goes on and on and on. There's a definite energy connection to it. Now, here's a case that happened outside of Pittsburgh in May of 2019, so it's not that long ago. And this fella happened just to wake up during the night and was looking out his back window, which the whole yard around was illuminated with artificial lighting, and he sees a small Bigfoot, maybe 4.5 to 5 feet tall, covered with dark hair, long hair on the head and the back. He's walking upright on two legs. The arms were swinging. Saw it very clearly, moved with a long stride, and as it moves across the yard, it enters a particular area of the woods. About 3 seconds later, at the exact position where the creature enters the woods, a bright sphere of light about 3 to 4 inches in diameter suddenly appears. And the witness said it was similar looking into the front of a flashlight about 4 feet off the ground, and that light moved a short distance for a few seconds and disappeared. A few seconds later, it reappears again about 10 feet away, and this small sphere emits a long, bright beam of light about 10 to 12 feet long. A few seconds later, it disappears and it's gone. This, again, is something that we're hearing. But once again, in some of these areas, various people over the years, and I know of two locations in Pennsylvania, and I've been involved in another location in the last month or so, interviewing one of the prime witnesses in northern Pennsylvania, and I've been aware of another property in Fayette County for several years where this is ongoing, and various people in both cases have experienced different things, from these small spheres to UFOs to howls and cries and footprints. Paranormal stuff, apparitions, Bigfoot, goes on and on and on.
Can we back up just for a second to the Black Panther sightings? I always have to ask this because in some cases, people have reported that these Black Panthers are just sort of like normal-sized Black Panthers, but other people have reported them as being like as large as like a horse, you know, like enormous creatures. Like, are these recent ones just sort of the irregular kind of Black Panther type thing
yeah.
that Okay.
They're more along the line of something that has a body estimated to be about 4 to 5 feet long with a very long, 3 foot or longer, long curled tail, completely jet black in color. I had one case last year, well, again, I had three of them within a few months. They were all in different areas, all in daylight, and all very, very close. And in the one case up in the, now this is up in the Laurel Mountains, so this is very close to the Chestnut Ridge. Here in southwest PA, which again is one of the most active areas in the country for all kind of phenomena. But then the Laurel Ridge, sightings continue up through the Laurel Ridge. So this is like parts of Westmoreland, Fayette, Somerset County. A lot of strange things going on up there. But this was in the afternoon. This guy was just out working outside, and there was a building in the rural property, and somebody had left the main door of the building open. He happened to walk inside to get some equipment, and suddenly this huge black cat, it ran from the back of the building past him within 10 feet. He got a really good look at this thing, and he said what was so interesting was he said he could actually hear its paws striking the ground as it ran. It sounded as though it was making a fast gallop. They did find some prints, some tracks out there, and it was gone.
More to come with Stan and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's Shop, S-H-O-P, Super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's ShopSuperTea.com at 818-984-6100.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So there's no possibility, Stan Gordon, that these Black Panthers are just conventional felines?
I cannot say that. Could there be possibly people who have had an exotic pet, like one of those type of animals in the area? Possible. But I can tell you, over the years, nobody's ever been able to find any indication that somebody's pets have been released. Now, mountain lions, that's a whole different story. We've had reports of mountain lions, cougars, panthers here in Pennsylvania for years and years. And, of course, in this part of the country, they were common years ago, but they've been officially declared extinct in this part of the country for years. People see them every year. And over the years, there's very good video of them. I had the police call my team up to Armstrong County years ago when they had a series of mountain lion sightings going on. I had people saw more than one together, which was interesting. And we found a trail of tracks, and I made a cast of a paw print. And as without a doubt, there are certain features and details within the track that you can tell the difference between a mountain lion and a dog, for example. And there's no doubt in my mind, and others will look at it, that it was a mountain lion track. But there have been other cases, too, that are very strange. And I can tell you this, back in March of 1983, in a suburb of Pittsburgh, of all places, and this made the news, by the way, there was a very interesting case where there was a auto dealership. They had an auto repair center there, and it was a large, heavily wooded area that kind of was right behind and connected to that part of the property. That morning, a mechanic was putting a headlight on a car when suddenly this huge Black Panther dives over the fence and dives right next to the car he's working on and lands there with a dead animal in its mouth a few feet away. And it's basically staring at him, making a growling sound. He could smell it. It was so putrid. And the thing turns and dives back over to the car and goes back in the woods. And other people saw a small one and a larger one. They called out the Pittsburgh police. They ended up having a very large search with tranquilizer guns and animal protectors and police department. They searched and searched and never found the thing. Could not find where it had escaped from, where it was missing from, never did. And it was a very interesting case. But I'm going to tell you now about the case that really intrigued me and made me realize that, again, there's more to this than meets the eye. And this happened back in February of 83 up in Fayette County. So Fayette County continues to be one of the most active areas in the country, and some of that area is along that Chestnut Ridge. So the Chestnut Ridge is a mountain range that runs through Westmoreland, Fayette, Indiana County, and Southwest PA, and extends down to outside of Preston County, West Virginia, outside of Morgantown, West Virginia. It's probably a little less than 100 miles long, somewhere around there, and it is probably one of the most active area year after year for all kind of phenomena, especially in the Pennsylvania side. And it's just amazing. So this happened up in Fayette County. I interviewed this fella back years ago. He was coming home, I believe, from work one night around 1 o'clock in the morning. It was cold out. His car was overheating. Pulled into his driveway and went in the garage to get some antifreeze. He opened up the hood of the car. He hears a growl. So he turns around and looks, and there's this, about 20 feet away, there's this large black house cat. It's just sitting there growling at him, and he didn't pay much attention to it, and he went back to put some more antifreeze in the car. And a short time later, he hears a second growl, but this time the growl is much deeper and much louder. He turns and looks, and to his surprise and amazement, that large house cat has now physically grown in size. It's about a foot larger in size. He throws the empty antifreeze jug at the animal, which he hit, and it growled at him fiercely. It's like it was going to attack him. It took two or three steps backward, then growled again, and it began to move up the road, the street that had lights on. It was illuminated. The fellow ran inside and grabbed his pistol, and he came out and took one shot at it. And when he looked at that point, he said this thing now had physically grown, and it looked like what you would call a black panther like you would see in a zoo. But he said now it had luminous, glowing yellow eyes. The body was 2 to 3 feet long, and the tail was swishing around and appeared as long as the body. And he said as he's watching this thing, it suddenly vanishes and disappears right in front of him, and it's gone.
That doesn't sound like just your everyday, you know, escaped house pet for sure. But Gene's question still, I mean, some of these are probably that, though, right? Like, there probably is mundane explanations out there for some of these things. And, you know, I got to ask you about, yeah, there are escaped monkeys and stuff out of Florida. There's a Great Ape Preserve down there in Florida. That whole range and runs all the way up the coast up there. I mean, have you made an effort to look into these cases to see which ones are maybe just regular animals that people are mistaking or ones that are truly weird? Like, that last story is pretty weird.
And there are. I mean, there are many misidentifications of animals, even with Bigfoot. I've had cases where they turn out to be bear. They turn out to be large, very big, shaggy dogs. Some turned out to be over the earth hunters in camouflage outfits. So sure, there's misidentification. And then, yes, there's animals. And with sounds, it's very hard to determine, except sometimes I've interviewed outdoorsmen and hunters have a lot of experience. They're familiar with the sounds of all types of the animals down here, from this really weird sound of rabbits can make to just coyotes and other animals in this area. And they swear that what they've been hearing is completely different. And many of them tell me about the overpowering vocalization, the strange sounds that they've heard. And this is going on more and more. As recent as last night, I got a report from outside of Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of things you can explain, and that's always been my position, to try to explain these things. But when you begin to see there's a pattern, and there's a pattern with the Black Panthers, and I'll give you another example. I believe it was 1979. This is on the border of Westmore and Armstrong County in Pennsylvania here. And a series of incidents began in this localized area, this large rural area. It happened after some kind of a strange object was seen one afternoon falling from the sky into the woods. And soon after that, the people around there began to report screams and cries and howls and seeing Bigfoot and seeing UFOs, and a lot of weird things were going on. But besides the Bigfoot reports, the residents began to report Black Panthers in the area as well. And this was actually being covered at some point by Pittsburgh area radio, TV, newspapers. This went on for months and months until at least a few years. And I've been in touch with people down that area now, even the last few years, and there's all reports of activity going on and some very strange things occurring again now. And you talk to other investigators like Nick Redfern and others who have investigated sightings in the United States and Europe, and he has other cases, these Black Panthers, these huge cats that behave very strangely and show up in these areas where a lot of phenomena is occurring.
It's almost like, well, you know, if we are dealing with something alien, and they do have that capacity to be able to camouflage themselves Yeah, they just picked the wrong creature for the area. They should be using that one down in South America or Central America where those cats naturally live. You know, it's like they just get it wrong or something.
Well, none of it makes any sense. I mean, the more you look into it, I said years and years ago, the phenomenon is so strange, it protects itself. It is so bizarre. And for most people, if you don't experience it yourself, it's hard to believe. And the witnesses I deal with on a regular basis, people calling in here, people I interviewed over the years, I mean, people from all walks of life, I mean, professionals and educators and police officers and hunters, very experienced hunters and that, and they see some of these things that they never would have believed existed until they had their own encounter. And in recent years, I've sat down face-to-face with some of these guys, and some of these guys had tears coming out of their eyes. They just could not believe that they saw what they saw. They've heard the stories. They never believed it, and their lives are changed. And this phenomena is so much stranger. A lot of it makes absolutely no sense. It's so beyond our understanding right now. But when you have so many people who don't know each other, have no reason to make up the story, they want no publicity, they just want to find out what's going on, why would you make these stories up?
Well, don't get me wrong here. I'm a believer that strange things happen in the world. I've experienced enough strange stuff myself that, I certainly am not going to be too critical of other people who seem to be sincerely relaying a strange encounter with something out in the world. That's for sure. You still got to realize that there are these mistakes and misidentifications. There's got to be the odd hoax. And to be thought of as a credible researcher, if we're not prepared to ask those harder questions, then it's not very likely that we're going to be taken too seriously. It's hard enough to get taken seriously as it is.
As it is, we have this announcement coming up. Then we'll have more with Stan Gorton, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. And by the way, Stan will hang out for After the Paracast, our special show for those who subscribe to the Paracast Plus. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.